Good afternoon, Cameron Bikondova. Welcome on VH Berries.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am extremely grateful. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. I have a bit of a headache, but I just ate, so I think it should go away soon. But how are you?
I'm doing great because 150 is the number associated with this conversation. And it also might be the speed, 150 miles per hour, that you are going to reach probably with the Puma Catwoman limited edition shoes that you got 2 days ago from Lori.
Yes, and there was a bit of a mishap too. Puma themselves ended up sending me a pair, so now I have two pairs, so maybe I can go double the speed with two different pairs of shoes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about these extraordinary stories?
I met my good friend Lori through the show Gotham that I was on, and she was my first stunt woman. Then she had an accident on a different set that prevented her from being my stunt woman ever again, but we became really close, where I consider her a sister. And she found out that Puma has a collaboration with Batman, or I don't even know exactly what it is, I just know that it's a Catwoman edition shoe. And so she texted me the other day and she was like, sis, you have to have it. I'm going to email them. And, Lori, the best way that I can describe her is she is a woman of faith and a big dreamer. And sometimes I just kind of go along with her dreams, but I really didn't think that she would get a response from Puma, but she did. And they ended up sending me a pair of shoes. And I'm just like, the craziest things happen to this woman in the best and worst ways. And in this case, she helped me get blessed with a contact from Puma and some new shoes. So I'm excited to wear them.
Absolutely. And Cameron Bikondova, being, as you just mentioned, a big dreamer, also means to make a great footstep. And this is perfect because we're always staying in the shoes vocabulary.
It's a blessing, and I guess it's a blessing and a curse to being a creative person, or even in some cases an entrepreneurial person. Like you, for example, you are on your 150th episode of a podcast, and it takes so much effort to schedule and buy equipment and then edit and all of that. And it's a blessing and a curse to be in that position, because every little step creates progress and leads you closer to your goal or your dream. But then it can get exhausting, because it's like, dang, how many steps do I have to take to reach this goal, or to get to that place where you want to be? So it's a blessing and a curse to be a dreamer, for sure.
Absolutely. There are always those two sides of a coin, and right. Shoes is an art as well as the Bikondova gallery.
Yes, that's definitely something in progress. I don't want to share the name of it yet, just because it's still so deep into development that I'm not exactly sure when it will launch. But it will be an online gallery that will essentially, it's a way for me to kind of touch on all of the things that are important to me, like art and expression and philanthropy. So it will start off as an outlet for me to sell original paintings, prints of photography, poetry, and then I want to incorporate my philanthropic passions as well. So proceeds will be going to charities of my choice that help children, whether they're underprivileged or sick, be able to express themselves through through art, whether it's through writing or photography or painting. So it'll be a gallery that people can come and either make direct purchases of pieces that I've created, or help other children that, you know, they might not know, be able to benefit from the arts like I have benefited from them. So hopefully it's projected to launch in August of this year, but it's still deeply in development. So that's something that I'm really excited about.
Absolutely, Cameron Bikondova, because this gallery, as you just mentioned, will showcase your original paintings as well as some poetry and, in definitive, the art likewise allows you to express yourself in a more informal context and settings. And I can make a direct parallel to the beginning of your journey as a military brat, which is in a more formal settings.
Yes. My life has been full of extreme contrasts. I was raised by two. It's so wild. And then I have people close to me who are like, "Why are you so extreme?" And I'm like, "My life has been full of extremes. I don't know. Please don't blame me." But yeah, I was raised by two military people, both in the Navy, and was, you know, very strict household. At times volatile for sure. But so it was, how do I say this? For example, there were very strict rules and expectations at home, but I never lived in one house for longer than maybe 2 years. So there's that contrast of, you know, being very disciplined in one way of living, but very scattered in other ways of living, or even very disciplined in fitness, where, you know, I would be taken on 6-mile runs to work out, but then have the freedom of expression through dance too. Or once I moved to New York for Gotham, in my teenage years, it was also very very extreme contrasts, because I had the independence of being a teenager in a city like New York, where, you know, I'm taking public transportation, I'm going to work on my own, I was making my own money, so I could pay, you know, well, that's a totally different, there's a totally different contract, there's a totally different story with that, but, you know, the contrast of being independent while also being in a very suffocating relationship at home. So my life has been very, like, so full of contradictions that I can barely make sense of, let alone really explain to someone else that's not a therapist, maybe. But that has given me, that's given me the opportunity to seek expression through art forms like dance, like acting, and like writing and poetry and photography. With dance, I can use my body and express my emotions without having to use words. And with acting, I can tap into emotions that I wouldn't otherwise really tap into by using words. And then everything that I love about the silent art forms, not to be repetitive, but writing, poetry, photography, photography, painting, it's also a silent art form. And I've essentially all of that to say, I know what it's like to be a child, and not really know what to communicate or how to communicate, and be in a position where, how do I say? I know what it's like to be a child who only really knows how to communicate through art. So essentially I want to start to use my platform to give other children that opportunity that might not be able to, whether it's because of health issues or toxic living situations, toxic relationships, maybe financially it's not affordable. So that's really what drove my idea for opening the gallery is, yes, to express myself and be able to sell my pieces, but mainly to create a place that I can give back in a way that I know how, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, Cameron Bikondova. And on one hand, there is that volatility that you just mentioned, but on the other side, there is this very powerful US subculture, including that cultural identity and lifestyle that I assume is giving you a lot of discipline.
Yes. It's very interesting though, because a lot of people, at least when I have mentioned bits of my childhood and how it was kind of non-existent, how a lot of people assume that it's because my parents were in the military or because I stepped into the entertainment industry at a young age. But it really wasn't that. I mean, being raised by two military parents is unique in itself, and being in the industry is unique in itself. But I guess I don't think I'm answering your question. What's your question? I'm so sorry.
That's perfect, because I had no question about it. Oh, it was just nuts. An observation.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Then yes, that's a very, very good observation.
In definitive, Cameron Bikondova, your comfort zone was the HNC, Hawaii, New York, California. I'm only saying the name of the states because inside those states, you moved on multiple places. For example, in California, there is Los Angeles, but also San Diego.
Yeah, I've always joked that I've always been a bit of a gypsy, because like I said earlier, I never lived in one apartment for longer than 2 years, maybe until I moved to New York. But even then, I was in that one apartment for 3 years. So it was only like 1 year difference. So I've never, I was born in San Diego. And then I was raised there until right after my 10th birthday. I turned 10 in May, and then in August we moved to Kaneohe, which is on Oahu, Hawaii. And then about 2 years after that, I decided to pursue my professional dance career and decided to start going back and forth between Hawaii and LA. So that was around the time I was 11 or 12 years old. And then by the time I was 12 years old, we were back in LA for my professional dance career. And then 2 years after that, after auditioning and training and acting, was when I found out I needed to move to New York. So that happened when I was 14. And then was in New York for 5 years, and then moved back to San Diego, and then now I'm back in LA. Yeah, it has been a ride. It has been a ride.
It has been a long ride, Cameron Bikondova. But secretly, maybe HNCG G for Gotham City.
HNC. I like that. I like your abbreviation, Victor. HNCG. Yeah, Gotham. I am so thankful. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was, yeah. And not many, the, what blows my mind even still to this day, which it blew my mind then and it blows my mind now, was that, I was the seventh woman to, or young woman at the time, but seventh person to play Selena Kyle in history. But I was the first to play her at that age. And I don't know, it's just so wild to me. Even like 3 years later, 3 years after it stopped airing, I'll walk down the street. Like the other day, I was walking to a Starbucks and there was a woman who she recognized me, and it was the weirdest. I don't know. It's just so wild to me that people still occasionally know who I am. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever get used to it.
And broadly speaking, Cameron Bikondova, to travel, you obviously need to have a very great and solid suitcase. That suitcase that you can put in the Batmobile.
Yes, always need a solid suitcase.
I would love to discuss about these experiences playing that legendary character that is called Selina Kyle. Can you tell us about how it all began before you were auditioning? How was the environment around you?
Oh, like when I was auditioning?
How it got all started.
Yeah, so I was living in LA. I was dancing not as often as I was before, but I was still dancing, still training and acting. And I was a freshman in high school. It was my first year back in public school after being homeschooled through online for some years. And I was going on audition after audition after audition, and there were no bites. I mean, no bites at all. And I was starting to get very discouraged, and I also knew the pressure that my family was on, paying two rents off of one income. And when I was professionally dancing and actually working, I was pretty much the breadwinner of the family, or at least definitely the one I was heavily contributing to the income for our family. So I knew that me not working was causing a strain, and I had been going on audition after audition, just getting so discouraged because I was like, well, how are we gonna pay rent? Like, how is this gonna work? Am I gonna have to move back to San Diego and live this normal life and have to make new friends? And, you know, I was just so discouraged, and I was starting to silently think, okay, well, I think I'm done with this acting thing. I think that, you know, I'll just give it another month, and if I don't book anything, then I'll tell my parents I don't want to do it anymore. And I was just kind of going through the motions. And then all of a sudden, my manager at the time saw a breakdown for a character for this pilot, and she said, oh, Cameron, you have to go out for this one. And I was like, okay, you know, like, you know, this orphan named Lucy who's a firecracker. I was like, okay, I'll go on this audition, but nothing's gonna happen from it. So I like put on my happy face and I went to my acting coach and we worked through it. And I felt actually really good about it. I felt it was the first audition that I was genuinely confident going into. which was surprising given that I had just, I was strongly considering quitting. And I walked into the audition and I saw this one other teenage girl who, she was notorious for intimidating people in the waiting room, playing loud music in her headphones or humming or just doing anything to distract the other girls in the room. And I remember recognizing her and thinking, I got this. And I don't even know if she ended up, I don't know if she's still acting, but anyway, I went into the audition, I killed it, and then they, I killed it, and they asked me back for a callback, but this time they said, don't wear the bomber jacket, because I wore my favorite bomber jacket ever, and so they said the second time they wanted to see my physique, so... the second time I went in, I didn't wear a bomber jacket. And then, after that, I didn't hear anything. And I was just going to school every day, just wondering, okay, are you kidding me? Like, if I don't get this, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm really quitting now because I know I killed that audition. And if I don't get it, like, I'm really quitting. And so just day after day after day going to school and just waiting to hear any sort of response. And then... finally, I found out that I got a producer session, which, you know, when you get a producer session, you are just not even a full step closer. You're like just a toe squeeze closer to getting the job. And I was like, okay, I got a producer session. I have a week to prepare. And the only change that they asked of was that I prepare a set of cat movements. And they said it wasn't mandatory, but, you know, if you want a job, you'll do it. And so I spent the entire week leading up to it just perfecting the lines, but watching – I had a cat at the time. His name was Mr. G, and he was my best friend. And I would stalk him, and when he was napping, I'd clap, and I'd see how he would jump. I'd watch him run. I'd watch him walk. I'd play with him more. And I watched videos of literal cats fighting on YouTube. I watched videos of Cats the Musical. And I created, I was able to use my dance background to choreograph a piece where essentially the concept that I came up with was that I was a cat hunting a bird. And then I created a set of cat movements. And then I filmed it. I actually found the video. I've been trying to figure out if I should post it or not, but I went to my neighbor's apartment. She had a roof and she had these big AC units. And I asked her if I could have access to her rooftop so that I could film this audition basically. And so in the video, I'm jumping to and from these big AC units and then onto the floor, and I'm doing all these crazy things. And then when it was time to actually go into the producer session, it was on the Warner Brothers lot in a screening area, and obviously they didn't have an AC unit in the theater because, I mean, obviously. So I asked them if I could have a chair, and they're like, a chair? You need a chair? And I said, yeah. And so I jumped off of the chair and then I sat on it for the audition. And it was just Danny Cannon and then Bruno Heller and then the casting director. They were all in there. And I just remember leaving feeling just so sure that I got it. And then I still had to wait like 2 weeks before I heard anything. I found out that I got the job after school one day. My parent picked me up, drove me to my manager's house, and they wouldn't tell me anything. They just basically were mute and just put me in my then manager's office. And then someone called. I don't even, I still to this day don't know who it was on the phone. I don't know if it was my then agent or if it was someone from, like, I have no idea who told me this, but they were like, they literally answered the phone and all they said was, meow. And I was like, what? And here I am, like, I don't know that I'm auditioning for Catwoman. I'm so naive. I don't know. I just think I'm auditioning for Lucy and I happen to have to choreograph cat movements. And they were like, are you ready? Like, you're playing Catwoman. I said, what? So, yeah, and there were some details that I left out just because I was already super detailed about it. But, yeah, that was the auditioning process and how I found out that I got it. So it was pretty insane. And then within, I think, a week or so, I was already in New York filming the pilot. So it was a really long waiting process, but a really quick turnaround.
It was a very quick turnaround. And Cameron Bacandova, there is obviously a very ironic fact, which is that right now you have a cat.
So I don't have a cat. So the profile photo, it's a funny story. That cat is just a cat that I bonded with on a trip that I took to a family friend's ranch. And we stayed in their guest house while they were doing construction. And the story is that the previous owners of the home had a cat, and then they moved. And even though they brought the cat with them, the cat refused to leave the house. So they moved like miles and miles away. But the cat walked, however the distance, he walked back to the house and just refuses to leave. So the cat that's on my profile photo, or that is my profile photo, is just a cat that I befriended on a trip. It's not mine. I wish he was mine, but he's not mine.
Absolutely. That cat was very sad by having his back in front of the wall because he was too attached to that home.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to bring him home so badly, but then I was like, well, he's not leaving this home because he doesn't want to. So can't put him in the car, Cameron. Leave him here. Yeah. So I don't have a cat right now, but I did have one.
And Cameron Bacandova, I really like just before when you explained that you were thinking of quitting and that it was, in definitive, one of your last chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't something that I vocalized to my manager at the time or my parents. It was very much an internal commitment that I made, where I was like, okay, if this audition doesn't work, then no, I'm really done. I can't handle it anymore. And just by the grace of God, seriously, it was like this audition came in that, and that was the other thing too, that was so annoying and exhausting, was I never saw myself as a Disney kid. There's no shame in being a Disney kid. Disney kids turn out to be very successful artists in the industry. I'm not saying it because of that. It's just, I saw myself as more of a network television actor or a feature film actor. I never saw myself as someone who fit into the Disney or Nickelodeon caricature. 'Cause yeah, it just didn't seem like me. And I was always too edgy for them. And that was always the note that these casting directors would give me. And I was like, so why am I still going on these auditions? Like, the only auditions I was really getting was for Disney and Nickelodeon. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I don't fit into that mold. And every audition I'm going on, it leads to a no. So what is the point? Like, what is the point? Why can't I get an edgy role on a solid network or a solid film? Like, what the heck? And that's part of what was so annoying, was like, not only am I getting rejected, but I'm getting rejected for things that I don't even want to do. So what really is the point here? And that's really what led to me wanting to quit, was how exhausting it was for roles that I wasn't even really excited about. They would really just be a paycheck. And so when the breakdown came in for Selena, which I only knew to be Lucy, it was like, oh, it was like a light at the end of the tunnel, where it was finally an audition for a role that I knew I could fit in, and I knew I could kill, and I knew I could, I had a really solid chance at. So I went, and I remember too, after, so every, this is also kind of a sidetrack, but before every audition I would go on, I would train with my late coach. His name was Richard. And sometimes I would leave those auditions still feeling a little nervous. And I remember before the audition, I met with him, and literally the morning of, my audition was at, I think, noon, and I met with him at 10 in the morning, and we ran it one time, and he said, "Go get him, kid." And I remember it was the first and only audition where I genuinely felt confident about. And I guess it showed in my work, because they ended up hiring me. But yeah, if it weren't for Gotham, I don't think I would be acting still to this day. I really don't think I would.
You always had that small light at the end of the tunnel, Cameron Bikondova. And yeah. It was not the first time that you were facing those choices, because choices are part of the life of every superhero. And this time, I am talking about an ultimatum, as you like to call it, when you were even younger, concerning dancing.
Yes. So I was a professional dancer from the time that I was, I'd say, 11 to 14. It actually probably only lasted a year or two. From like 10 and a half to 13. Because I still continued working when I could in dancing when I was starting to act. But I dance was always my passion. The only real goal that I had for later in my life was to go on tour with an artist. I ended up not being able to achieve that dream, but I only ever saw myself as a dancer. And when it was time for me to take acting more seriously, everyone in the industry told me that I needed to, I needed to stop dancing if I was going to take it seriously, which was hard, because up until that point, dancing was all I ever knew and all I ever wanted to do. So to go from training 5 hours a day, that's not a dramatization either, like 5 hours a day to nothing was a really big deal. And with Gotham, I was actually able to basically say suck it, because I was able to use my dancing background, and it actually made the job that much easier and that much more fun, because I was able to, come the third season of the show, I was able to actually collaborate with the stunt coordinators in choreographing some of my own stunt fight scenes and stunt scenes. So I was faced with a lot of really big decisions at a young age. And one of them was the possibility of quitting dance, which thank God didn't end up happening, because the main job that made a lot of people a lot of money needed my dance background. So,
And as the date of today, you're feeling good in your shoes. Those Puma Catwoman limited edition shoes. Thank you very much, Cameron Bikondova. And thank you very much to your friend Alexandro, who helped you behind the camera.
Yeah, I think he's napping. Oh, no, he's awake. Yes, he says thank you to you for helping. Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me and to be on your 150th guest is a really big deal. So I appreciate it so much. And I hope you have a good rest of your day.